Turn your Bibles to page 1173 in the Pew Bibles, page 1173, Ephesians chapter 1. Before we look at this together, let's have a prayer. Lord, we want to confess that very often we find ourselves dazzled by the things around us, but lost in the fog of our busyness, our forgetfulness. And so we pray that you might help us find our correct spiritual bearings through your word, through Christ this day. Amen. A well-known missionary speaker some years ago, who must be in his 80s now, was a man called Michael Griffiths. He did many years of missionary service in Asia, in the most trying of areas, spiritually, and then came back later on to be head of one of our great overseas mission training colleges. And Michael Griffiths wrote this in a book. I'm going to read the paragraphs to you. I quote, "Christians collectively seem to be suffering from a strange amnesia. A high proportion of people who go to church have forgotten what it's for. Week by week they attend services in a special building and go through their particular time-honoured routine, but give little thought to the purpose of what they're doing. The Bible talks about the bride of Christ. The church today seems like a ragged Cinderella, hideous among the ashes. She's forgotten that she's supposed to be growing up, as the advertisements used to have it, to be a beautiful lady. Many Christians can rattle off glibly the various biblical pictures of the church as building, body, bride, but in their experience, these ideas have never got beyond the theoretical stage, and they continue to be disappointed with and disillusioned by the church as they know it." Michael Griffiths' book. Who's read that book? Anybody read it? Three hands going up. Cinderella with Amnesia was the title of a book, and it accurately describes the way many churches operate. And while the church is in fact a princess, the bride of a king of glory, destined to be the most dazzling and beautiful entity in the whole universe, we see ourselves instead and convey to others a picture of the abandoned orphan sitting by the fire grate amongst the cinders, looking puzzlingly at a glass slipper that seems to suggest that we should be much more, but not quite knowing what. Well, Ephesians 1 should snap us out of our spiritual amnesia, our spiritual forgetfulness, remind us who we are and where we're heading as the people of God. You see, the church, as in fact the creed and so many of our service orders remind us, the church is Christ's people in heaven, those with him who have gone ahead, who've died already. And yes, the local church is gathered round the world. The church in heaven, the church on earth. And the local church, we should be reflecting that eternal church, the people of God gathered before Christ. Our time together is meant to be a preparation for the heavenly church. The life of heaven is meant to pulsate through Christians as they meet. And yet we don't always feel that, if we're honest, do we? So our call and the church are inextricably linked together. With the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at Ephesians. In May 1558, the great French reformer, John Calvin, began preaching for Ephesians in Geneva. It took him 48 sermons. We have fewer in our series. Calvin normally spoke for an hour, so I hope you don't mind having a late lunch today. But I hope we will gather from Ephesians our true identity. It's one of the mountain peaks of the New Testament. And Christian after Christian has found themselves transformed by it. It's an epistle about Christian identity. Who I am, where I belong, and consequently how I ought to behave. It is terrible to be lost, or imagine having amnesia. I've been very struck recently by a number of people who I visited in our own parish who have significant amnesia, who as they've aged have lost awareness, even loved ones, forgotten names, and you probably know people like that yourself. What a terrible thing that sort of dementia can be in its effects. To lose all sense of our roots or belonging or personal identity is devastating. Michael Schluter was an economist in Cambridge. He's retired now. He used to run the Jubilee Centre. 2 elections ago, he wrote a fascinating booklet on roots and the effect of losing them in our increasingly mobile society. But at one stage in that pamphlet, he comments like this: ultimately, roots which provide meaning, belonging, and identity are to be found in Christ. Ephesians is written to those who are in danger of forgetting their roots and losing their Christian identity. The letter is written, verse 1, to the saints, to the Christians in Ephesus, and no doubt other places as well, as Paul's letters very often were circular letters. It's written to not Jewish Christians, but Gentile. Chapter 2, verse 11, chapter 3, verse 1, he talks about you Gentiles. And if you divide the epistle up as a whole, chapters 1 to 3 about who we are, and chapters 4 to 6 about how we are to live. And verses 3 to 14 is one long sentence in the original. It's like the crown jewels crumpled together in a heap. Well, one friend of mine once described it when we were discussing Ephesians 1. He said it's a condensed soup of a sentence. It just runs on and on and on, but there's so much there. Verse 3, praise be to God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. The heavenly realms, friends, are the unseen world, the spiritual reality, which a non-Christian has no idea of. And sometimes we find ourselves in the fog of life, forgetting the unseen but lasting realities. I've noticed this last week looking at Ephesians 1 that first every Christian is chosen by the gracious Father. Every Christian is chosen by the gracious Father. Verse 4, that he chose us in him before the creation of the world. That's not to do with clocks and calendars. It wasn't that there's plan A and that didn't work out, then there's plan B. It wasn't corrective action later, like the decision to make the world in the first place. It was not contingent on anybody or anything. It was God the Father's sovereign choice. Look at verse 11. He works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. Your own identity is not what our individualistic society calls a personal lifestyle choice. It is an identity with roots deep in the heart of Father God, stretching back before time itself. If we belong to Jesus Christ, he chose us, verse 4, to be holy and blameless before him. Look more at this in the coming weeks, but before we came to Christ, we were exactly the opposite of that. We weren't holy and blameless. We were rebels and under his judgment. but yet he chose us, verse 5, to be his sons and daughters. Think on it. Our identity, our roots are in eternity. It has its substance in membership of the royal family of Father God. We're chosen to be adopted. We're not guests at a royal dinner, but to be sons and daughters, and to look to him in wonder and love, and to call him Father. We did not, we do not, we will not deserve this. But wonderfully, the Christian is someone who is chosen by the gracious Father. The second thing.
The remainder of this recording failed to work properly. The next 2 points which John spoke about was that we are rescued and that we are sealed or owned as by Christ by his death and his resurrection through the Holy Spirit. We will try and add the second part of the sermon to this recording in due course. Thank you.